Backseat Box Office, episode number 146, for the weekend of July 5th through July 7th, 2013. Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
We are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Hello, everybody. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
I missed you.
I'm glad.
Just you, Art. No. I kid.
So did you recuperate? Is that why you didn't join us last week?
I properly passed out. I have been very stressed, and stress gets me like that. It gets to a point where I just kind of can't function, and I have to sleep for about 12 hours. And I kind of hit that wall last week. It was not anything as fun as still recuperating from a party weekend. I wish.
Oh, okay.
Because really, wouldn't that have made a more fun show?
Feel free to embellish. I usually do.
But, you know, listen to it. Show when I edited, you did a great job. As I tweeted you guys last week, I whipped off the headphones when you got to talking about Man of Steel because I hadn't seen it at that point and I wanted to hear nothing because I've really only seen the first Christopher Reeve Superman. It's the only Superman movie I've ever seen before. So a lot of it is stuff that I really don't know. So I wanted as much of it to be new to me as humanly possible.
I tried to pause a little bit.
You did, because you said you were going to talk about Man of Steel, and I was like, oh, and then I pulled the thing off, and then every once in a while I would just move it near my head, and I would hear you say Superman, and I would just lean back again.
Okay.
I was like, you know, if they screw up something, it's going to be left in the show. Don't care. If he accidentally gives out his social security number, I refuse to be held responsible because I wanted no spoilers.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Have you seen Man of Steel?
I saw Man of Steel!
And I think that like 2 weeks ago, Art got to say what he thought. Last week was my week. This week is your week.
Okay. Well, as someone who is coming from a fairly new perspective, having only seen that first Super, I didn't see the other two Christopher Reeve Supermans. I really heard of General Zod, didn't really know who he was, what his deal was. It was all quite new to me, but obviously I know the basic story, thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought Henry Cavill, I love how he played Superman. He wasn't over dramatic. He wasn't wigged out by it. I liked that kind of casual yet respectful way he played it. I thought Russell Crowe was really cool. My only other reference naturally was Marlon Brando. Oh. who was, and from what I remember, I just remember him being very stoic. I liked how Russell Crowe played it. The only thing I can really remember having issue with, and it was something, the other reason I wanted to see it because I wanted to see it. The other reason was Backseat Producers did it last week, and I wanted to see it before I did the notes. So that, number one, I wouldn't be lost. Number two, I would know what they were talking about if they brought up stuff that was foreign to me. And one thing they brought up, which is something that I thought about too at the time, at the end when Superman and General Zod are fighting, and then Zod states that, and it was something that they only kind of glanced on in the beginning, that he was genetically engineered to be who he was. And I kind of wish that played more of a part in the movie. I think I would have enjoyed that. I was I was entertained throughout. And I was glad that, I don't know, I think it was Tony, someone either Facebooked or tweeted that there was nothing at the end of the credits, which was a good thing because after 2.5 hours, I almost peed myself trying to get out of that movie. So I was glad that I didn't have to wait through the credits. I just had to bolt to get out of there. But I saw it, really liked it. And he was a lot hotter than I thought he was. Extra bonus.
It's always good.
I'm saying.
Little side tangent. Marlon Brando. I didn't, you know, I had seen The Godfather, and obviously, you know, as Jor-El, but I had never really seen him in much, and so I never understood, you know, having watched The Godfather, and you know, everybody talks about Marlon Brando, Marlon Brando, Marlon Brando. And I was like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And then I saw Guys and Dolls. and I don't, have either one of you seen that movie?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I have seen Marlon Brando in other things, though.
In other things. Okay. That movie, for as old as it was, it just blew me away because he had such presence.
Oh.
He came onto the screen and he exuded cool, and he just, you know, he was totally in control of himself and played his part, and I was like, I get it now. It took looking at some of his older work to say, okay, now it makes sense.
Absolutely.
Marlon frickin' Brando.
And you know what, I should make note of that because there are so many Marlon Brando movies I have not seen and should and would thoroughly enjoy. I've actually not seen On the Waterfront, which is Stella. I have not seen that. I've seen bits and pieces of Guys and Dolls. Obviously The Godfather, Superman, what I remember from it. I saw him in Last Tango in Paris. Oh, my. And...
I said, nope, not me.
And I know I saw him in something else. I've seen, not all of it, but, oh, darn. I can't think of The Wild Ones. Is that, I'm going to have to look this up. Everyone listen to me go clicky, clicky, clicky.
I'm looking at his IMDb right now.
Is it The Wild Ones? Is that?
Where in the chronology?
That's going to be way down.
The Wild One.
Yeah. That's the the famous motorcycle movie.
Johnny Strabler.
Oh, Apocalypse Now. Duh. Last time.
I don't think I've seen that since my age was in single digits.
I think I've seen Brando in two different movies. Godfather being one, and then, well, I guess three if you count Superman. But the other one was The Freshman. Where he is.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Same character, or the, you know, a derivative of his Godfather character.
Yeah.
But I always hear.
Right, but still in.
His big movie was A Streetcar Named Desire.
Mm hmm.
Which I guess he was in before On the Waterfront and Guys and Dolls.
Oh, that breath is going to sound horrible.
That's right, you can pick it up.
When I edit, I think that was the only movie I saw last week. I have at least, oh my gosh, let me think. I have at least four that I have penciled in for the long weekend. Three of which are gonna probably all happen tomorrow. It is my friend's birthday tomorrow, and she wants to see Despicable Me 2, which I'm fine with. So we're going to see that, and she sometimes likes to pay for a single movie and then go see a second movie.
Oh, yes. Nothing wrong.
So, for those prices. So we might actually go see The Lone Ranger after that. If everything times out correctly. Breaking the law, I'm a rebel like that. And then after that, she's like, I can get a movie off of Redbox. And I'm like, oh, mother of God. So we're either going to see, oh, gosh darn it, Cloud Atlas. Oh, what was the other one we were looking at? She wanted to see Side Effects. I have no desire for that. But there was some other movie that I can't remember is out recently. Something that's come out recently in Redbox that we might go see. Or we might rent. So, yeah. I'm going to see anywhere from 1 to 3 movies. 4 if she has her way, but not so much. I'm not going to drive home at midnight with a tummy full of cake after having seen 4 movies. Oh, Oz. So, Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So, yeah.
The Oz.
I do want to see that and Cloud Atlas, but that means I have to sit in her apartment for at least 5 hours. And I'm not feeling that. we'll figure that out. And she never listens to my show, so I can say all of this.
Yes.
There you go.
I think Despicable Me 2 will be seen by the family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the fence about Lone Ranger. Just because there's been numerous articles about how bad it is. And
I've heard that.
And I was just before I came on reading an article about if you're a parent, how you don't want to take your kids to see the Lone Ranger.
Really?
Yes, because they're, well, to be non-spoilery.
Is it violent or is it?
It's violent so much so that a lot of reviewers are saying that how did it get a PG-13 and not an R?
Is that a fact? Hmm.
Every year that bar gets a little lower.
Yeah. And one reviewer is even talking about how Rango was dark, but I don't remember that.
I didn't see Rango.
Yeah.
Rango, I didn't feel like it was dark.
Well, I mean, they're all animals, and it was animated. I mean, maybe it was scary.
Yeah, and I don't know.
At the end. No one likes snakes.
I guess a few people got eaten, so, you know.
Nom, nom, nom. Well, part of the reason we're going to see The Lone Ranger is because it's kind of the only movie we can get into after Despicable Me, that we wouldn't have to hang around the theater for 45 minutes and look suspicious.
True, true. Well,
so it was kind of that, like, look and see what starts around 2 o'clock or 2:15, and we'll figure that out.
So right. As far as the parents are concerned, the first half is that it's violent, and then it's 2.5 hours.
Oh, you're kidding! It's 2.5. Good, Drew. Oh, speaking of, okay, the parent thing. A friend of mine saw Now You See Me.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting next to her, she was repulsed. Sitting next to her was a man with his 2 daughters, both appearing to be under the age of, let's go with 7. And she said that Now You See Me is full of filthy language, full of extremely adult-related jokes. Full. And she said she looked over, and at one point the younger girl, she's like, thankfully was playing with a tablet and was not paying attention to the movie. But she was horrified that this man had 2 little girls at, you know, I mean, just, and not just, you know, not just cuss words, but sex and bodily function jokes throughout the movie. She's like, not just a little part, constant, like from beginning to end, it's like one running masturbation joke. And she was horrified that this guy had 2 little girls there with him. That's all I have to say on that.
Yeah, so maybe I didn't tell the story about that there was a family that brought probably a littler than 7 to Hangover 2. And I didn't really pick up on it until the transsexual scene.
Okay.
Yeah. So that, yeah. That and when we went to see Basic Instinct opening night, someone,
There were kids there?
a little baby, like a 6 months, 9 months, and they sat right behind me. Yeah, I, there's no, it gets to a point where you think there's no courtesy anymore.
I wish I could remember what movie it was. I remember someone had a baby one or two rows behind us, and it was a very violent movie. Violent, loud violent. And I just, and the baby was sleeping, and then the baby woke up. And I mean, I'm not one of those never let your baby out of the house ever. There's a time and a place for everything. And, battle movies, not so much a place for, a newborn.
I don't know. I'm gonna be the dissenting voice here.
Go ahead.
I for the as far as okay, don't bring your screaming baby to the theater in any way, shape, or form. I'm not gonna disagree with that in any way. I mean, if your baby's not quiet, don't bother. Go home. That is discourteous 100%. What you choose to subject your child to in any other respect is your decision as a parent. Where I take my kid, as long as she behaves, whether it's to this, that, or the other thing, that's my choice, and I'm not going to judge any other parent for whatever decisions they make. I may think they're wrong, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut about it because that's their business. And that's where I come down on it. It's just, that's just me.
Okay. I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah, I don't think that I would ever start a conversation saying, "Hey, you should they shouldn't be in here." I understand that. I just don't like it, but
Right.
not.
What do you mean, like have a conversation with them?
Well, I mean, just saying, why are your kids here? This is an R movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking inside my head.
Oh, yeah.
And generally, my biggest irritation is that, if you decide to bring the kid, I'm okay with that, but if they start making noise, just exit the theater, because there's a lot of parents that just give them a bottle or they start bouncing them and that kind of stuff. In their situation, I would just exit the theater, maybe watch from the walkway if I'm worried about,
Yeah, see, discourteous, being discourteous, that's a whole different issue.
Yep.
I don't care what age your kid is. If they're not quiet, they need to go. I don't care if, you're sitting next to your 18-year-old and he's sitting there on his phone and texting. I'm gonna go get somebody and be like, "Hey, this is a problem."
Yep. Okay, then. The morality police have concluded.
Geez, Lynn, come on. All right, so Art, do you have
Yay.
you need to talk about as far as movies watched?
I do. Okay, so I saw, well, now that I've got my new cable and they gave me HBO and Stars for 3 months for free, the
Sweet.
DVR is filling up with things to watch.
Excellent.
So I actually watched Perfect Pitch, the Glee the movie. You remember that one? And I actually enjoyed it. It was pretty good. A lot of good some good singing, and
It looked funny.
it was very funny.
It
Some of
does look entertaining.
the one lady, the one girl who, when she said, they asked her what her name, she says, "My name's Fat Amy." And they're like, "You call yourself Fat Amy?" And she's like, "Yeah, well, if I call myself Fat Amy, then you guys can't call, she says, "The skinny little bitches can't call me Fat Amy behind my back." That's her reasoning. And I thought it was hilarious. It was full of little jokes like that. It made me laugh. I just found out that that song, "You're Gonna Miss Me When I'm Gone," it's getting a lot of radio play right now. And
Vaguely.
it's okay. Well, it was featured in the movie.
Okay.
The actress is the one who's doing the song that's getting all the radio play. It's like the off of the soundtrack.
Oh.
I thought it was just something when I so I'd heard the song on the radio and then watched the movie, and I assumed she was covering it, just doing a cover as for her audition in the movie, and later to find out, no, that's the actual song that's playing on the radio. So I was very impressed with her voice. So I think she did all of her vocals for the movie.
That's cool.
So that was another thing that made it really good. And then I watched Trouble with the Curve, the Clint Eastwood, Amy Adams, Justin Timberlake baseball movie. and I really enjoyed that. I I'm sitting there, I'm looking at Clint Eastwood, and I feel like he's just this grizzled old piece of leather that I just can't take my eyes off of, you know, because you just, you know, you've seen him, you know, for all these years, and he just continues to develop as an actor. It's like I feel like he's never really stopped getting better. You know, he's changed and he's continued to mature, and I just like watching his movies.
I have to say, for a long time, I never really was, you know, I was never really a huge Clint Eastwood fan. I didn't dislike him. There was just no attraction. There was no pull. I've seen only, I mean, very few of his movies. One was, I want to say it was from the 80s, where he worked at a military. Are you trying to think of the name? Is that?
I was going to say Heartbreak Ridge.
That might have been it. But then maybe 2 years ago, someone told me you have to see Gran Torino. And very shortly after them telling me this, it actually popped up on TV. And even though it was edited to hell, wow.
That was a good movie.
That was fantastic.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the edit that must have had, though.
I know. I've yet to see the full version. I'm sure I'll like it that much more.
Yeah, it was actually Nick who suggested that I watch Gran Torino. And then I've watched it, and I came back, and I'm like, wow, they should have called that racism the movie. And he says, oh, so you didn't like it? I said, no. It was awesome. That just should have been the name.
Yeah, I'm kind of running through like all the old stuff. I know I didn't see any of his Western stuff.
Better Dawn, backseat producer.
What was that?
For me, they talked about it on backseat producers, so I had to watch it.
Ah. Anything else, Art?
No, that was it. I'm also probably going to see a bunch of movies over the next few days, just because. Off all day tomorrow, and everything's just building up in the on the DVR. So
cool.
I won't have one until the time that I have a permanent job, and then I will spend the extra money on better cable, as in more channels, and whatever, whether it's the Hopper or some other kind of DVR that comes with this. That's when I will do all that stuff.
Seems appropriate that you of all people should have the Hopper.
I need to have the Hopper. You have no idea. I need to have the Hopper.
Wow. All right, Jeff, what about you?
I had a surprisingly movie-free week and weekend.
Yeah.
Played a lot of games, so we'll talk about that later. Lena,
okay. Can
you tell us how the box office did last weekend?
Why don't I? Monsters University held at number one, grossing $45.6 million. The Heat opened at number two, grossing $39.1 million. World War Z, you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. World War Z came in at number three, grossing $29.8 million. White House Down opened at number four, grossing $24.9 million. And I only need to go as far as Man of Steel, that fell to number five, grossing $20.7 million. And now on to movie pickings. For a while, I was kind of worried that I was the only one that did not put Monsters U at number one, but I wasn't, so that's okay. We had three 25s. And one of them was our pretty little Art. So.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
I've called you Princess, so I call him Pretty. That's how I roll.
Okay.
So, Art, you don't really need to tell everyone how you did, because you, BD, and Kugron, who both dittoed you, it wasn't even that they came up with it on their own, they both dittoed you.
Bastards.
So the three of you got a lovely 25. And next up with 23 points, Jeff and Scott had the same pick. So, Jeff, tell the people how you picked.
Okay, so I had Monsters University at 1, I had The Heat at 2, and at 3 I had White House Down. Should have had it down more. And then I had World War Z at 4, and then Man of Steel 5. So I lost 1 point for having White House Down wrong, and I lost 1 point for having World War Z off a spot. So I lost 2 points. Can't be mad about 23, I guess.
Not so much.
Unless all about 25s.
And Scott had the same pick, so you both had a 23. Next up is Nick with 21 points and a voicemail.
Hi, this is Nick. Number one, I'm going with Monsters University. Two, White House Down. Three, The Heat. Four, World War Z. Five, Man of Steel. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Art, did you say something to Nick?
I probably did.
Okay, 'cause he's back to 20 seconds and he's out.
Oh, I
Sniff.
figured he didn't have the time.
Sniffle, sniffle. But he had 21 points. He had Monsters University correct at number one, White House down in second instead of fourth, giving him a 2 point loss. The Heat in third instead of second, World War Z in fourth instead of third, each one giving him a 1 point loss, and he had Man of Steel correct. I am next with 20 points, which really not so bad. I had the Heat at number one because that is my heart's pick, and I am okay with that. So I lost 2 points on picking the Heat. Monsters University in second instead of first. White House down in third instead of fourth. Apparently, I gave that too much credit. World War Z in fourth instead of third, and I had Man of Steel correct in number five. Father Beast had he had 19 points. He had Monsters University correct. White House down in second instead of fourth. World War Z correct third. Man of Steel in fourth instead of fifth. And the Heat in fifth instead of second. And rounding things up is Scuba Dave. And this is why I did so much feel bad about putting the Heat in first, because he had White House down in first.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch.
Oh.
That's a 6 point 6 point loss. I'm sorry, Dave. I had Monsters U in second instead of first, The Heat in third instead of second, World War Z in fourth instead of third, each one a 1 point loss, and Man of Steel correct in fifth place. Again, that was 16 points. And on to, oh, wait a minute. Boop. Art House. Myself, Jeff, Art, Father Beast, we all picked Byzantium. That averaged $2,774. So the standings at the moment, and this is pretty much the only time I get to say this, I am in first place with $112,000, $112,163. Let's see, Art is in second with $107,646. Jeff is third, $100,409. Let's see, Father Beast in fourth with 56,861, and BD in fifth place with $42,879. And now on to the leaderboard. Do 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 do. We have Kugron in first with 23.3 points. Scott in second with 22.8 points. Jeff, you are in third with 22.2 points. BD in fourth, 21.8 points. Art is in fifth with 20.2 points. Monty is in sixth at 20 points even. Nick is in seventh, 19.7 points. Father Beast in eighth with 19.4. Mrs. Beast in ninth with 17.5. I'm in 10th place with 17.4 points. And Dave is in 11th place with 16.4 points. And thank you everybody for playing. And now we got movies.
Art, would you like The Lone Ranger or would you like Despicable Me 2?
I will go with Despicable Me 2,
Okay.
because this is one of the saddest synopsises I've ever seen. 74% of critics liked it, 89% of users liked it. It is Universal Pictures and Illumination Entertainment's worldwide blockbuster Despicable Me entertained audiences around the globe in 2010, grossing more than $540 million and becoming the 10th biggest animated motion picture in U.S. history. in summer of 2013. Get ready for more Minion madness in Despicable Me 2 from Universal. That's it.
Okay, that is the crappiest movie description that I think we've seen. Here's what we did last time. There might be more of it in this movie. That's it. Oh my God. Sorry, Art. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's it. That's, I mean, what are you supposed to do with that? I'm looking forward to it. Brittany wants to see it desperately. So we're just, it's a matter of finding someone to watch the baby.
Well, seeing this show, you might want to bring the kid.
The Minions are so cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
He won't sit still.
Oh. I know it almost looks like it's getting to a point where Gru has become a secondary character and the Minions are going to take over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about The Lone Ranger. From producer Jerry Bruckheimer and director Gore Verbinski, the filmmaking team behind the blockbuster Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, comes Disney/Jerry Bruckheimer Films' The Lone Ranger, a thrilling adventure infused with action and humor in which the famed masked hero is brought to life through new eyes. Native American spirit warrior Tonto, played by Johnny Depp, recounts the untold tales that transform John Reed, played by Armie Hammer, a man of the law, into a legend of justice, taking the audience on a runaway train of epic surprises and humorous friction as the two unlikely heroes must learn to work together and fight against greed and corruption. PG-13, 2 hours and 29 minutes. It's currently very rotten at 22%. Out of 29 reviews, 29 fresh, 100 rotten. The people are at 73%. So, yeah.
I'm feeling more and more sad about seeing this tomorrow. Oh, I don't want to know this. Poop. So, even if I don't pay for it, it's still 2.5 hours.
So we.
Yeah, My Buddy Tony is really. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
My Buddy Tony is really jazzed about this. He wants to see it so bad. He was trying to talk me into going to a midnight show tonight.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm really not feeling it. He's been. I don't know where he found him, but he's been catching up on all the old Lone Ranger serials. Like, he's gone through them all. He's sitting there talking to us about the. You know, how the original actor got ousted because he wanted more money and they brought in another guy. And I'm like, this is way more than about the Lone Ranger that I really didn't want to know. So I had to break it to him. I'm like, yeah, I was vaguely interested when they first started talking about it. And I was like, the more and more I hear, the more and more I'm like, I don't want to be up past midnight to watch this. So I don't know, I'm going to talk to him tomorrow and see if he hooks somebody else into going to see this with him or not.
I'm feeling sad.
Well, if it sucks, you can always walk out.
Yeah, she's my ride.
if it sucks bad enough, you know, you can lean over and be like, you feeling this or should we just go?
I know.
You know, if you leave sooner, then, you know, you can start your other movie watching earlier.
And and she has cake, so she bought her own birthday cake. So I want cake. Well, I'll certainly let you guys know.
We'll see it on the Twitter.
Yeah, from
I want my 2.5 hours back.
From what I've read, one reviewer said that, you know, there's some two really, really good train action sequences in it, but there's a middle part that he wished was completely left out. So we'll see.
Okay.
Let's see. And I think that's two movies in wide release. So let's get to picking. And I believe Art is up first.
First. Ah, feels good.
Shut up.
And now it's changed.
I like going first. I've got an A for a first name, so I went first a lot as a kid. all right. So, Despicable Me. It's a no-brainer. They're talking $110 million, and yeah, I think that's going to be an easy number to make, even considering that, you know, a lot of people are going to see it early because, you know, it's already in theaters and you've got the 4th of July, people are off, they're not seeing fireworks during the day, they'll go early. But I think even through the 3-day weekend, the part we count, I still think it'll make that money. Second, I'm going to go with Lone Ranger. I mean, even though it's getting panned, I think enough people are just going to go because they want to see it. They want to see Johnny Depp acting a fool as he does, so well, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Monsters U. Number four, The Heat. And number five, I'm going to go Man of Steel. I think it's going to fall more slowly than White House Clowns. And then for my art house pick, I'm going with The Way, Way Back. A little nostalgia tale about growing up, and those always get me, and hopefully they will get the people coming in.
Okay. Jeff?
Yes?
Your turn.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. Do I really want to ditto art? So I really want, okay, no-brainer, Despicable Me 2 at one. The only other part of my top five that I can even think about is Lone Ranger, is there a chance it could be number three? It's probably going to be on the same amount of screens as Monsters University. The only thing that's going to stop me is that Despicable Me 2 and Monsters University might be going after the same audience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to... So here are my picks. Despicable Me 2 at 1, Lone Ranger at 2, Monsters University at 3, I'm going to put The Heat at 4, and I'm going to try to learn from last week's mistake, and I'm going to put World War... Hello.
Okay, he's back.
All right. Am I the one that dropped?
We think so.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Because Art and I were still talking.
All right.
Good.
I was gonna say skip that. I'm not changing my picks.
Okay. Jeff, I have Despicable Me 2, Lone Ranger, Monsters U. That's where we lost you.
Okay, and then at 4, I'm gonna have The Heat. And then mm-hmm. I'm going to put World War Z at 5, trying to learn from last week's mistake. And I'm also going to pick The Way, Way Back, just because, like Art, I enjoy those kind of movies. And throw in some Sam Rockwell. How can you go wrong?
Okie dokie then.
Quick side note, Sam Rockwell, have you guys seen Moon?
No, but I've been told a gazillion times to see it.
I own it.
Okay.
There you go. And you know what? He's probably one of the people who is in that list of people who've told me to go see it. Not to go see it, but to see it.
That just might be the next movie on Dropbox. But we'll see.
Oh, okay. My picks. Despicable Me. Despicable Me 2 at number 1. Lone Ranger, number 2. I am, because I just can't let go, damn you, putting The Heat at number 3, because I still love Melissa McCarthy. I love her. Monsters U at 4, mostly because that's been out a week longer. Maybe it'll drop a bit more. World War Z in 5th. And my art house pick is The Look of Love. Which is, and I was watching the trailer earlier, it's a British movie, although Steve Coogan plays the title role, and I don't think he's British. Or if he is... Oh, he is English. Then I never knew that he was, so good on you, Steve. The Look of Love is about a gentleman named Paul Raymond, who in the... I'm going to say maybe in the... 60s and 70s was almost the Larry Flint before Larry Flint, but not, he was more gentlemen strip clubs and quote unquote men's magazines, owned a lot of Soho in London and for many years was one of the richest men in England. Just looks interesting. So that's my pick. That's my pick. That's my picks. That's my picks. I don't know why I said that twice. Yeah.
Shall we move on to news?
Sure.
Okay, do you want to hear about Comic-Con, or do you want to hear about what's on TV this weekend?
We'll start Comic-Con.
Okay, so I have two articles related to Comic-Con. Our first article is about Comic-Con has become almost this huge junket of let's show these new trailers that no one's ever seen before, or let's get the people excited. So the Sony tent being Hall H, if you've been to Comic-Con before, which is the biggest hall, I believe, they're going to be showing off two movies. They're going to be showing off Amazing Spider-Man 2 and RoboCop. So I think we all know, we might not know, that Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone is in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but also we have Jamie Foxx, who plays Electro, and I believe an actor that I don't know who he is will be playing Harry Osborn. So there's that. And the lesser-known movie that will be shown off there will be RoboCop, which stars The Killing's Joel Kinnaman. So if either of you watch The Killing, you can tell me who this is, because I sure don't.
Nope.
Also have Abby Cornish, who I believe was in Sucker Punch, and Samuel L. Jackson. So I'm not sure RoboCop needed to be remade, but that's never stopped them. So that's the Sony, I guess, junket. And then let's talk about Disney/Marvel. So they're going to be showing off Thor and Captain America. We haven't seen the trailer yet for Captain America. At least I haven't seen it. But
no.
I have seen the trailer for Thor. And so I'm not sure who's going to be in the panel, but obviously Thor, you know, played by Chris Hemsworth, is in the movie. They also have Natalie Portman, Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki, Stellan Skarsgård, Idris Elba, and a crap load of other people that I lost. Okay, sorry about that. And then in Captain America, they're going to have Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, reprise their role as Black Widow, and Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. They're also going to, there's rumors that the Falcon will be in this movie, kind of helping Captain America. And also Robert Redford, we don't know who he is playing.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting name. So that's Comic-Con. So now let's talk about, for 4th of July weekend, there is a veritable cornucopia of different shows on different channels that will be featured this weekend. So I know my son's excited about that Disney XD will be showing an Ultimate Spider-Man marathon, even though it lasts 5 hours. So that's barely a marathon, I guess.
For a kid.
Yeah, true, but I think they have more than 5 episodes. They could do a longer marathon.
Yeah, I
would be recording Star Trek Next Generation off of BBC America. That will start from 8 a.m. July 4th to 6 a.m. July 5th. And they're going to have a 1 hour break, and then they're going to do some more all the way to the July 5th. So if my math is right, that's going to be 23 hours of Star Trek.
I will be right back, guys. Keep going.
I'm in. My wife is excited about The First 48 on A&E. That will be on July 4th.
What kind of show is that?
First 48 is a reality show where they show the first 2 days of a murder investigation.
Oh, okay.
It's an interesting true crime kind of show. And the premise is that, you know, most of the murders that they solve get taken care of in the first 48 hours. Once it passes 48 hours, the probability that they're going to find the killer goes way down. If you are thinking about trying to catch up on Walking Dead, this would be one of the weekends to do it. AMC, which just happens to be carried by DirecTV, they are going to start season one at 1 p.m. on July 4th. And it looks like, there's going to be some breaks, but if you just record, I think, all three seasons if you just start, you know, tomorrow, and it'll end July 7th. And that's how
I have
up on season two.
Right, I have seasons one and two on DVD.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, season three for sure. I'm down. I've seen all of season one. I haven't seen any of season two.
Yeah, because season one wasn't that long. It was, I think, six episodes, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so as I go further down, Pirates of the Caribbean Marathon on ABC Family, July 6th and 7th. And MTV is going to be having a rom-com marathon from noon to 11.
Oh.
Okay, now, I don't know if this is close to your wheelhouse or not, Art, but Clueless, 13 going on 30, She's the Man,
and
four new Girl Code episodes. I don't know what those words mean, but
I'm back.
Okay, I've only just seen Girl Code, and Girl Code is, have you not seen or heard of Guy Code?
I think I've seen a few Girl Codes. No. On what is it, MTV?
It's, yeah, but he's saying he's never heard of it, and he doesn't need it. I'm asking, have you seen Guy Code?
Haven't seen Guy Code.
Okay, yeah, it's just a TV series. It's one of those commentary, you know, they get a bunch of different people to comment on different things. They'll talk about a subject, and then they'll get, you know, different comedians, actresses, internet personalities to comment, like, you know, like a almost like a live running commentary of whatever they're talking about. Guy Code, all talking about Guy Code stuff. You know, you don't dime out your best friend, you know, if he's having an affair, you know, it's Guy Code, keep your mouth shut. So it's all just Guy Code topic. So Girl Code is the exact same thing, but from the other side. And it's kind of funny, but really it's something you watch when there's nothing else on.
Now, I have to say, the last marathon that I'm going to talk about is a very intriguing one. It's the Shark Marathon that's on Clue. It's going to start at 6 a.m. July 5th to 6 a.m. July 6th. And I guess their theme are, you know, very popular TV shows that jump the shark, or episodes in which they jump the shark. So they're going to be you have to show Happy Days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's where we get Jump the Shark.
Have you, have either of you seen any of the Arrested Developments? Not the new one, but.
No.
No.
I got halfway through the pilot and I got interrupted and I haven't gotten back to it yet.
Henry Winkler plays a lawyer. And because, you know, it's a Ron Howard, you know, show. And they throw in lots of kind of inside jokes. And at one point, they're over by the Santa Monica Pier and they're leaving. And Henry Winkler, like, as he's walking away, there's a rubber shark on the sidewalk and jumps over it as he's walking away.
Nice.
They throw in lots of things like that.
Okay, so Happy Days, Get Smart, Bosom Buddies, which I watched a lot at tender young age.
Yeah, I watched it.
Family Ties, I'm trying to remember how they jumped the shark.
They had a baby.
Yeah.
Laverne and Shirley.
They moved to California.
Mannix.
Didn't watch it.
House. The Unit. Mork and Mindy. And Charlie's Angels.
I would not say that Mork and Mindy jumped the shark, because even though they had a baby, damn it, it was Jonathan Winters. I mean, that was sheer brilliance.
So, if there wasn't anything that interested you, or interested you, in on what's on TV this weekend, I made a recent discovery of something that was probably been on Instant Watch for like ever. I just didn't know about it. Because when I originally watched it, I did it DVD by DVD. And that's Coupling, the British Coupling.
Yes!
So, yes. If you've watched it already, watch it again. Or if you haven't watched it, you got to check this out. Because it is a great sitcom.
What's the premise?
On Coupling?
Yeah.
It's, I would say it's... In London, is it London, Lena? Or can I say
yes.
England? Okay, it's in London. So it's
in
three
London.
Guys, three girls. So it's kind of Friends-like, but I think they're funnier characters.
Oh, God, yes. Now, they did try and make, I don't know if
yeah,
you
I
recall.
Remember.
And it,
I remember.
And they actual... They took a literal episode and re-recorded it exactly in the U.S., and it was an utter failure. As it's the British original, it is one of my favorite shows,
now,
even though it hasn't been on the air for quite some time.
Probably the lead male actor you'll recognize from Pirates of the Caribbean, because he's the guy who played Commodore Norrington.
Yes.
In the Pirates of the Caribbean series. And I kind of think of him as kind of a cooler Ross, at least for me. And because it's BBC, they can get a lot more adult on this show than they could ever get on Friends, I think.
Right.
That's why their Joey character, which I can't remember his name, is much more funny.
I'm thinking, because the one who's more, not so much womanizing, but I believe that's Patrick.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Now, my favorite, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think you're going to say exactly what I was going to say. Go ahead.
My favorite scene.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my favorite scene is, and it comes a little bit later when Patrick is dating... Susan. Is she Susan?
Okay, go ahead.
The plain one.
Right.
As it goes, the plain one. And the two other men come in and do this Spider-Man dance in costume.
Yes.
I can watch that every single day and have the biggest smile on my face, because it is just the silliest, most ridiculous thing. And then I think, if any man ever like put on that show for me, yeah, I'd marry him in a heart. I wouldn't even need to know his last name. That's how much I like that.
So yeah, you should definitely check it out. And it's the seasons aren't very long.
Mm.
So you could probably catch the whole run very quickly. And that show jumped the shark, because they got rid of my favorite character, Jeff.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
On the last season.
And they brought in all these extra, a couple extra people, and it just, no.
Okay, so that ends the TV marathon for 4th of July weekend story. So I have one more that kind of struck me as rather odd.
Mm.
Now, because of what happened with Firefly and Serenity, there's a lot of fans that want shows brought back now. and kind of a move that some writers and show producers are doing is they're bringing them back as comic books.
Really?
As that, you know, they're not, they don't have the financial means to bring them back to TV, or, you know, the networks aren't you know, putting their capital behind it. So, for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they have a season 8 comic where some of the writers that were involved in Buffy, they're able to tell some stories that ended after the series ended. So you're starting to hear more and more shows that are coming back as, you know, comics. And so I saw this article about that there's a company in St. Louis, of all places, that they are reviving 5 NBC shows as comics. And generally when you hear about comics, usually you're hearing about, you know, I hate to say it, maybe male-oriented shows like, you know, shows like A-Team or, you know, something that's action-oriented or police-oriented, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the 5 shows that they are resurrecting. Number 1, Knight Rider. Knight Rider as a digital comic. So they're not actually going to print out the comics. You can read them online. So Knight Rider, I can understand that might be big.
That seems an easy leap.
People in the
80s? Yeah.
Second one is Airwolf.
Nice.
Same answer. I could see that being almost logical.
Okay, and then Miami Vice.
Oh.
Now that was a iconic police show in the mid 80s. I mean, created Don Johnson's career probably. And then I get to the less obvious, Punky Brewster and Saved by the Bell.
Well, Punky Brewster is kind of easy to see because they spun that into a cartoon anyway. So it was a Punky Brewster cartoon, so the jump to a comic, not that big of a stretch. And Saved by the Bell, you know what Saved by the Bell is? Saved by the Bell is freaking Archie's. It's modern day Archie's.
Look at you being all smart.
That's why I'm glad we have
a try.
Because I totally would have missed the Punky Brewster cartoon.
Oh, dude. I got into it with somebody over watching cartoons, and I just hit him beat for beat. There wasn't a thing he could name that I hadn't seen. I have a cartoon fetish.
Fetish, good word for it.
it is.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so the company is Lion Forge Comics, if anyone is interested in looking this up. And they're planning to sell the comics through the Amazon's Kindle bookstore, Apple's iBooks, and Barnes & Noble's Nook bookstore and Kobo.
Okay.
Series include writers from the animated Teen Titans, Ben 10, and Jackie Chan Adventure Series.
Okay.
So, yes, that's a thing that will be made.
I'm surprised they're not using Comixology if they're really trying to tap into the comics market.
That's a good point. But isn't Amazon part of Comixology now?
Oh, are they?
Is it? I don't know.
I think it's like the logo that comes up if you go to the Kindle store.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go.
So I don't know. I'm not a I haven't used Comixology, but I know it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't
do digital comics either. I don't know a lot about it, but yeah. I would expect to, if you're reading a press release, that'd be the big push, is to mention Comixology.
And that's all I have for news.
New key. Do I? No. Did either of you, kind of bouncing a little bit back to the movies, have either of you seen the trailers for RIPD?
Yes.
Yes.
Rest in peace, police.
What are your thoughts? Because it looks funny to me. I kind of want to see it.
I do too.
I'm interested.
And you know what? I think I'm more interested because of Jeff Bridges.
That doesn't hurt.
It's added a level of intrigue to me.
You know, like I was saying last time we were talking about Jeff Bridges, I feel like this latter half of his career, he really hasn't done much in the way of missteps. Mm. Now, either A, that could mean it's going to be really good, or that could mean he's due.
or this might be the one.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that he's bulletproof at this point.
He may be bulletproof. You know, he may walk away and nobody's going to stick it on him.
Right.
It doesn't mean, you know, just because he's Teflon now doesn't mean, you know, the crap may not stick to you when you step in it, but you still stepped in it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yes.
Is the young guy? Right. So,
yes.
And I'm liking him too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you get Ryan Reynolds into a movie where he's a wisecracker, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong. Yeah, absolutely.
And as long as he doesn't keep going back to that, because that just, it becomes very old very fast. Yes, that is his talent, but, you know, that's not a well that you should constantly dip into, my opinion.
Yeah, so I probably, if I had to, you know, not counting this weekend, but based on the trailers, the movies I'm most excited to see for like the next 2 months, Pacific Rim 1, Elysium at 2, and I'd probably put RAPD at 3.
You know, I just saw something in one of the latest Pacific Rim trailers that has taken it up another notch in my book, and I hadn't realized this before because I hadn't really looked over the cast credits really thoroughly, but Ron Perlman is in it.
Yes, with a British
accent. I don't know what role he's... What's that?
With a British accent.
Oh.
I don't know if it was Twitter where I read it, but yeah, I think he's in the last because there's just been a barrage of featurettes. I think they're trying to do some damage control because it's been getting bad press about, you know, it's going to suck, kind of like how Lone Ranger is not done well.
Oh, stop it. Oh.
I'm just pointing the fact.
I know. And I did.
Have I did. Ever enjoyed a movie that the critics didn't like?
I'm sure I have.
Go have a good time.
Absolutely. I think he's twisting the knife, Lena. He keeps mentioning it, and he really keeps coming back to it. And I really feel like he's twisting the knife. He's enjoying it.
Oh, because he is much too far away for me to go after him.
I don't know if that's true.
See, but you don't know how crazy I am. I could hop on a plane tomorrow. I got 4 days off.
I'm fine.
It's on.
More and more.
You edit. You could just completely edit him out of the show.
That's right. Be nice to me. I could just add stuff. If I knew how, I'll find a way to change your voice.
Yeah, if I put it in Dropbox or... Remember, I'm recording this.
Thanks, Arsh.
Oops.
Cancel.
You know, that's okay because if he doesn't put it in Dropbox, I get to blame him.
Yeah, there you go.
So one way or another, I win.
You know what you're gonna be thinking of saying your message was what is I watch another movie. I didn't watch all of it, I watched most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany had it on for Aubrey. Up.
Oh,
We watched a good. I watched a good amount of. I had other things I was doing, so I was in and out of the room while it was running. But
Was this your
the
first
leader.
experience?
Oh no! I've seen it, but
Oh, okay.
that's why I wasn't nailed to the couch watching it. I've seen it multiple times. But the pack leader with the squeaky voice, because his collar's messed up. You made me think of that. You said, you could change Jeff's voice. So I just imagine Jeff, with the, I'm going to tell you my picks now.
Challenge accepted.
Great. More fun with the harmonizer.
I still don't know how to use truncate. So, I mean, no, not the levelator, the levelor thing. I keep forgetting to ask Tony when he uses it, what settings does he use, so I can do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't used it either. But I'm editing it. So, did either of you listen to the back? Well, I know Lena. Did you edit the Back to Your Producers Man of Steel episode?
Oh, absolutely! And I had a blast doing it.
Art, how about you?
I have not because I can't download it.
Oh, sorry. All right.
It's all right. I'll have that resolved by this weekend.
All right. Well, I'll table this discussion until after you listen to it.
No. You can go ahead and talk about it.
All right. Was I the only one that had that felt unclean after the Dragon Ball Z conversation between you and Adam?
That's part of why I love doing those goddamn show notes.
Oh my gosh.
They bring me such unhealthy joy. I can't.
I wasn't sure how much they both liked Man of Steel. So I was a little taken aback about how positive they were. I mean, it was one of those things where I thought I was, watching a different movie, but, Adam and Tony are Star Wars, Superman aficionados. So it's interesting hearing their take on a lot of things.
Yeah, it's funny because I even liked my show notes, and then afterwards I'm like, nobody reads this crap. It's like I'm doing it for my own damn self.
I usually read them, but I didn't read the Man of Steel ones because usually I just see them on Facebook, and I have to click through.
Yeah.
As opposed to if you go to the backseatproducers.com website.
Oh yeah, that's right.
See most. So, anything else that you'd like to talk about, Lena or Art?
I think I'm good.
If you want to move into gaming.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to tell you that I had probably one of the better weekends of gaming this last week because we had a 4-hour Munchkin session on Saturday, and then the night before we played X-Wing, which we had a lot of fun with.
Okay.
How was your gaming?
I do a every last Sunday of the month. I have people over and we cook out and we play games. So I think I had a dozen people over this weekend. Was it a dozen? It was a bunch. And we played Cards Against Humanity.
Yay! I love that game! I don't have anyone to play here.
Were you all friends after the game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, it wasn't.
Just kidding.
Everybody can take a joke. Yeah, Everybody, a lot of people had a few beers in them. You know, everybody was nice and full from eating. You know, we cooked out. So you know, the day was gorgeous. It was like mid-70s, sunny, with a breeze. Doesn't get any better than this. And yeah, it was there, and there were a few moments that were just drop down hilarious. You know, I had the card that said, "I'm running for president. What am I going to distance myself from to, you know, make sure that I win the presidency?" And the card that took it was brown people. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And it wasn't even the worst of the game. I mean, the absolute low point of the game that absolutely shocked and appalled and yet still made everybody laugh, the question was, what gets better with age? And somebody had the stone to throw down on the table, incest.
I don't remember what comedian, but you know, it was a official incest to game the whole family complaint.
There you go. So yeah, so we had a lot of fun. We ate a lot of food, and a good time was had by all. And then this Monday we started a Shadowrun game.
Ooh.
Yes, and I'm not so sure about it. It's a little too. I like the setting. I like the flavor. The system is just way too convoluted. I think it's fourth edition he's using.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, no. So I'm not sure how long that's going to continue. I think it's a short interim game. I think we're going to do it for like 2 or 3 weeks.
I haven't played Shadowrun in, I think this past Saturday was my fourth week, and I actually sent Justin, who runs the game, I sent him an email, because it's every single, and it's getting difficult for me to put 5 hours aside every single Saturday night.
Right.
So, you know, I sent him an email and I said, you know, it's just difficult for me to do this every single Saturday night. I don't know how we want to do this. You know, do we want to kill off my character and not tell the others so that they could kind of play that off legitimately? Or, you know, am I going to be sent on a mission or have some limbs blown off and, you know, I come back after a while or, and then I was talking to him at work, and he said that in the 4 weeks that I haven't played, they haven't either, because one of the regulars that they've been playing with for years, he got, I guess, a promotion at work, and now works on Saturday nights. So they've been futzing around with other games, but they haven't quite played a full-on game yet. So I still don't know what I'm doing as far as when I'm going to be playing again. Because it got to the point where I was almost like, oh, it's Saturday night. Even though I didn't really need to be sitting at my computer until 7:30 at night, like it would start at 3 o'clock. Like I can't do anything. I've got to make sure, you know, whatever I do, I have to plot it all out and I have to be there. And it just, I should not be thinking that way.
Yeah.
Even though I have fun when I play.
But every Saturday, it's just like, that's like prime real estate in the week.
It's, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy gaming, but I would not game every Saturday night. I'm like, no. That's like the beginning of my weekend. I'm off the next day.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen.
And the other thing is that it's on Skype. It's not even a face-to-face, which might have been easier to deal with. Might, you know, because it's Skype, to me, you kind of lose a little bit in the translation.
Right, right. Hanging out with your friends, there's definitely there is an extra something there
mm-hmm.
to getting together with everybody, hanging out, you know, all the BSing you do before you play, you know, sharing a little food and drink around the table.
Yeah, it's
a completely different thing.
But when things are a little less crazy and I actually have gas money, I've been trying to look into doing some things around here. There's a group, I actually found him in Meetup, that they're actually doing board games, I think, every Thursday night, whenever you want to go, at a coffee shop not too far from me. So one of these Thursdays, I wanted to just drive over there and see what the hell they're doing. Plus, it's what do you want? Plus, it's an opportunity to, you know, meet some new people face-to-face.
Mm-hmm. There you go. The group I'm in right now, I met through Meetup.
Yep. There's one, because this one is like a regular board games, and then there's another one that kind of bases itself out of a store called Anthem Games, and they do games at their store, which is in the neighborhood I used to live in, but I think you have to like pay for some of those games. But they also do board game nights, more along the lines of the board games you guys would play, every once a week or once every other week, closer to my apartment. But like I said, once, you know, I have a little bit of, since I'm a temp, every time I'm not at work, I don't get paid. So, you know, when I took that day off when my friend was here for the weekend, I didn't get paid for that. So I'm still just kind of money juggling. I'm off tomorrow and Friday, which is lovely. I don't get paid for it.
Right.
So, you know, the money that I have is just going to the necessities for the most part.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah. But when I do get around to going and seeing what those groups are about, I'll certainly let you guys know. Are we spent?
I think so.
Jeff, did you fall asleep?
No, I'm here.
Yeah, okay then.
I'm just a tradition of, while two people talk games, one person goes silent for 5 minutes.
It's usually me. Wake Lena up. We're done talking about Munchkin. Lena! Alrighty, well, I think we can wrap this up then. This has been a very fun show.
Yes, it has.
And thanks everybody for listening. Enjoy your long, hopefully long holiday weekend. Happy, by the time this drops, happy day after 4th of July. Enjoy the weekend, enjoy whatever movies you're going to see, be safe, and we'll see you next week. Bye everybody.
And hopefully your hangover is short. Goodbye. Have a great day.
That too.
Good night. Talk to you next time.